Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan. First things first, the Lakers. Oh, my goodness. With a crushing loss to the Washington Wizards. Dude. Second time they've lost to a squad that they should have easily just smashed. First was Phoenix, and now Washington. They had an 18-point lead. I believe it was in the third quarter going into the third. And blew it. And the former ex-Laker, Trevor Ariza, just came out and just killed them, destroyed them, three after three after three after three.
Wide open looks.
Maybe you guys should have kept him, is all I got to say. Maybe y'all should have kept him. They basically swapped him for Ron Artest, in a sense. You know, they basically paid Ron Artest the same contract Trevor Ariza got.
Yeah, banned the shoot, took 3 of 6. That's all shots from three, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. 2 turnovers, 4 fouls, played almost 40 minutes.
And I know hindsight's 20/20, but Ariza was much younger than Ron Artest was, in my opinion, just a smidge below as a perimeter defender as Ron Artest. So, I mean, he was a better shooter than Ron Artest. Yeah. He was much more athletic than Ron Artest. So, to me, that was a bad swap for the Lakers at the time. Would they have won the championship with Trevor Ariza? I don't know. Maybe they would have won sooner. Maybe they wouldn't have won at all. I don't know. But you would have at least had a young guy, a wing player, that you wouldn't have to worry about. And with the guy, and you know, like I said, hindsight's 20/20, but in a D'Antoni type of offense, he would have thrived.
Yeah. But, I mean, he played well. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a Mecca Okafor, steal ball. You know, John Wall, 24-16 assists.
Just killed Steve Nash, too. Oof. For those of y'all who didn't see the play, YouTube it. Left him falling on the ground. Oof.
Yeah, this is bad because I saw the game on my phone and I was like, nah, I watched something else. They up by 18. They got this.
Exactly.
Like,
what happened?
And I turn it on. Let me see what happened. I'm like, ooh, what? Let me turn on James Worthy and hear what the hell he got to say.
That's what happens with the Lakers. You can never turn off the game because at any given moment they could be up by 18 and down by 2. So I don't know.
Mike D'Antoni decided to pull a
playoffs. Duck. Playoffs. Playoffs.
Doug Collins and just like, I'm just going to go off on my team right now.
Championship? That's a joke. You know what? I have to. This is one of the few times I'm actually agreeing with Mike D'Antoni. Championship is a joke. I don't know why anybody in LA is talking about championship talk. Y'all need to focus on making the playoffs, okay? Portland, Dallas, and Utah are like 3 games behind you guys. So they mathematically have a good chance of still sneaking into that 8th spot. So before we move into the championship talk, let's focus on making the playoffs first. That should be your focus, not championship when we make the playoffs, if you make the playoffs. Let's get that straight. So
Utah is like, here's my spot, take it. You know, we're banged up a little bit,
But in fairness to what you said to Utah, yeah, they have a rough schedule.
If the Lakers had that same schedule, they'd probably be 2-10 also.
It's a rough schedule. They're playing a lot of hard teams, a lot of good teams. And, you know, Utah, for as hard and tough as a team as they are, you know, they don't have the star power. That some of the better teams don't have
a guy who can just.
They don't have a go-to guy.
Make difficult shots that shouldn't be taken, but he takes them.
You can want to. You can say it's Al Jefferson, but Al Jefferson's a better like number 2-3 option.
Yeah. So Lakers you don't have a guy who can go for 30 easy.
Exactly.
And
every
Utah
night
doesn't.
Exactly. So but, I give Utah a little bit of slack, but they are somewhat gift wrapping the number 8 spot for the Lakers. I know everybody's focused on, well, we can get the 6th spot and we can end up playing the Clippers and it'd be like a home. It's like, focus on getting the 8th, clinching the 8th spot first, okay? Or just focus on clinching a playoff spot and then worry about trying to move up to the 6th. Because let's not forget, y'all play Golden State this coming up road trip. Yeah. Y'all better win. Because if you don't even worry about the 6th seed because you ain't getting it.
Yeah, you playing them on Monday.
Don't even worry about it if you don't win because you ain't getting it.
And that's not for Lakers.
Not an easy game.
At Minnesota after that. You know, Milwaukee going to be tough.
Yep.
And then at Sacramento. But, I mean, the Lakers play like that. You're just like, well, of course y'all could lose.
Y'all could easily go on 4.
They could.
And, I mean, I'm not even joking. Y'all easily could go on 4. I said before the season the Lakers would be 40. What did I say?
48-34.
48-34 at the season's end. Right now, they are 36-33. So, yeah, we're inching close to it, but it would not shock me at all if the Lakers got swept on this upcoming road trip. They suck on the road. Let's just call it what it is. Yes. They're sorry on the road. And you're playing Minnesota, who Rick Adelman still has those guys playing tough.
You got Ricky Rubio. Y'all can't stop point guards.
Speaking of which, you got to go up against basically two of them with Monte Ellis and Brandon Jennings with Milwaukee. And let's not sleep on Larry Sanders, who has been a beast defensively.
Yep.
And then who else we got on the list? We got Sacramento, who honestly plays them tough. And Sacramento's been playing fairly well recently, so I'm not going to call that a cakewalk either. And then you got Golden State, who definitely ain't a cakewalk. Mark Jackson's going to have them ready and watch out for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I can't believe it's like 12 games left. I'm like, God.
Season's moving quick.
Moving from like 30 to 12 in like a day.
And then you got San Antonio Spurs, who just, they do it every freaking year. I don't know how. I don't know why. It's almost like, it's like the New England Patriots. They just coast and just have a good record throughout the regular season. They just coast. I'm serious. They don't. I'm not saying they just coast, but they coast. They just coast, and it's just like they're winning. Yeah, they're just beating everybody.
He'll play his
just
bench.
Beating everybody, whoever we want, whoever we play. Oh, I'm gonna rest Duncan, Pau Gasol. I mean, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. Oh, and Danny Green for the upcoming game against Miami. I don't care about that game. I'm just gonna rest them. It doesn't matter. My bench almost beat him last time. Let's try it again. I mean, I respect Greg Popovich. He has a system. He runs it thoroughly, and it works.
Yeah.
And it works.
Everybody getting their star power out.
Yep.
And you got Tony Parker back.
Yep.
So we're going to make this nice little run in April.
Mm-hmm.
Lock up that number one seed, hopefully home court throughout, and let's beat, if we get the Lakers, Spurs, Oklahoma City, Clippers, who should they get? Who is the best chance? It's always the Spurs. Well, Tony Parker and I are healthy and blah, blah. I'm like,
let me tell you something. If the Lakers end up playing the Spurs in the first round, I'm calling a sweep right now. San Antonio just is going, Popovich is going to be like, please, just get rid of them, knock them out of here, get it over with. Easily, 4-game sweep, done.
But
I'm calling it now, 4-game sweep. I already called the record. Now I'm calling the playoff games. If y'all make the playoffs.
Yeah, because now it's in third. You know, what you going to play, Denver, if you get the third spot?
That loss.
The Clippers are tanked. The Clippers are not playing well right now. Mm-mm. And Vinny Del Negro's job is starting to look a little. He was doing all right. You know, had that.
I kind of knew.
Well, you knew it. But it
had
that.
It wasn't. Yeah. I knew come season's end, they're probably more than likely going to find a replacement because they want to keep Chris Paul. And Vinny Del Negro is a solid coach. He was a good coach. He was a solid coach with the Bulls. But you got to have that guy that can put you over the hump and get you to that championship level. And unfortunately, I do not believe Vinny Del Negro is that coach.
Yeah, because they had a difference supposedly with Blake Griffin and him on how they should handle their defense.
Oh, man, here we go. That's how it starts.
And Griffin saying they switch their defensive strategies up every game depending on the opponent, and it's not consistent. I mean, We knew all this was there.
Mm-hmm.
It had gone well, and Clippers were a top three team, and people were talking about them going to the finals and the Western Conference and making big noise, and now there's question marks. Now they're falling and may not even get home court. Well, no, they will. They'll get
home court.
No, they'll get a top four spot. But
yeah, they'll get home court throughout the first round. But
well, no, if one of them finishes better with the seed Memphis, then they automatically get it. But a few quick points with the Lakers that we haven't had a chance to address yet. One, Dante Jones, dirty play?
I don't want to call it a dirty play, but the camera doesn't lie. It looked like it was somewhat of a dirty play, yes. But for me, just saying, for him to put his foot at the exact point and location where Kobe Bryant's foot was going to fall, to me, that He don't know that. Kobe could have easily avoided his foot by landing somehow. And I'm not saying that, what he did wasn't dirty, but there's no telling that he knew the pinpoint location where Kobe's foot was going to fall down, so he just landed there. So the act was dirty, yes. As far as Kobe falling, that's in God's hands as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it was a freak accident. He put it out. I mean, Dante Jones, we already know they have history. Yeah. We know Dante Jones can get a little overboard sometimes when it comes to defending, but that's what he's there for.
I don't think it's dirty play. I just think it's them type of defenders. I know even though Bruce Bowen thought.
I was about to say, Bruce Bowen gets that
even
too.
Even though he said he thought it was a little dirty. I mean, I would like to know from these ball players that unwritten rule about the defender is supposed to give them space to land. I would like to know from those who play that much, does the defender have to naturally move his foot? I mean, is it like, oh, it's just going to automatically slide there, and if I don't move it, it's going to stay? Because they make it sound like there's no way your foot would slide under there. I'm like, well, if you're jumping up to defend the guy and you're going towards his direction and you're sticking straight up, it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't really landing. I don't think so, but I mean, Kobe said he thought it was dirty, and you know, the league reviewed it, and I was surprised. People were like, "How come Kobe can get away with that and calling people a dirty player?" And I'm gonna want some revenge the next time I see him. You know, people were wondering how come the league wasn't like, "Oh, hey, don't be talking about payback."
Well, tolerate.
No,
that.
They don't do that stuff. I'm like, did the superstar get a pass?
Of course they do. It's Kobe Bryant. He can do what he wants.
Okay. Dwight Howard's last great game when they went back to Orlando, and he shot 39 free throws, mm-hmm. and looked like the man. And oh, is he gonna play this way? And looked like he hasn't. What do you think of this Hack a Shaq rule? I call it the Hack a Shaq rule.
It is a Hack a Shaq rule because Shaq originated it.
Yeah. Should they not have it?
No. I mean, me personally, if you don't want it, make your free throws. And let's be honest here. It's not like every game somebody's like, oh, I'm just fouling them. I'm a Hack of Shaq them all game. That's not every game. That was one game. That was the one game this year where he got hacked that much. That's it. It's not like it's a regular thing. It's a rare occasion and it happens. I don't think it should be penalized for it. Dwight, make your free throws.
Yeah, I know people complain about, well, it's not the greatest thing to watch. I'm like, so it was a game where both teams are shooting like 32% and they can't hit, you know, it's a brick fest.
Yeah, when we have 70 to 65 games like that, those are bad games to watch. You want to foul them?
78.
But I mean, keep in perspective, let's be honest, there's only so many fouls to go around and there's only so many fouls your coach is going to allow you to just foul this fool. I'm not going to foul out my whole team. So, I mean, it's a rare occasion, and it happens sometimes, but...
It's a strategy, and they use it against it, you know, make a guy miss two free throws, and all you did was use somebody who didn't foul. I mean, you can't do it under 2 minutes.
And it's more psychological than anything, because if I do it, and you start missing continuously, I'm in your head now.
How do you know it's a regular off-the-ball foul versus, like, I'm intentionally fouling this guy?
Exactly.
You're going to start taking... You can't do no more loose ball fouls or fouls away from the ball anymore?
Just leave it be. Let it be.
And this last thing is with Kobe Antoine Jameson, where Kobe basically talking about the scream at me, because you know when I'm double or triple team,
I'm one on five in it. When this game starts, my teammates don't exist. I'm by myself unless they say something to me. Let me read this quote. This quote is great. I like this. From Antoine Jameson. He says, Kobe will tell you, and this is about playing with Kobe Bryant. Kobe will tell you, he's like, look, you guys as my teammates, yell at me. Let me know that you're open because I'm so programmed. What? And this guy has told me this. I see nothing but the basket. You could be open. There could be three guys on me, but the only thing I see is the basket. So you have to tell me, look, I was open. Or yell at me mid-play. That doesn't affect me at all, and I respect that. Antoine, first of all, you sound like an idiot for saying that last line. Secondly, I don't get Kobe. I don't understand. So it's basically what he just said is you could put all five guys on me, and unless you say something to me, I'm going to just keep doing what I do and try to score. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. I'm glad all this is coming out, because this is why I have never been the biggest Kobe Bryant supporter. Never. I respect his game, but when it comes to Kobe as a person, I've never liked Kobe. I have never liked Kobe. That is one thing. Y'all want to compare him to Jordan? That's one thing Jordan didn't do. He wasn't that stupid. I have a scorer's mentality, so if it's four people on me, I'm just going to try to score. Jordan was not an idiot like that. You put three people on me, fine. I'm a finally open guy. It's easy. Kobe, of course,
yeah, he gets.
I got to do it myself.
He gets to be the ball handler.
I got to do everything. I got
you. You know, that's why all that question of is things going to change when he got Steve Nash? No. Kobe got the ball in his hand more, and when he gets double teamed, he just forces, because that's all he does is he scores. So if the team doubles, he'll supposedly find an open man unless he's just feeling it in an isolation mode, which coach called out. He went to the micromanagers and then asked, tell me how you feel. I'm like, dude, you cuss everybody out. You mad all the time. Do I want to tell you? No, why do I want to critique you? So you can come back and critique me all hard?
We always know who's going to get the last shot in the game. Why? Because if he don't get it, he's going to yell at you.
Yeah.
What the?
That's what I mean.
If you're triple teamed, I'm wide open 4-3, dude.
Like, I play decoy. You play decoy once every 82 games.
And he don't play defense whatsoever.
Yeah. If you have 10 opportunities to take the shot and you have 10 different ways to draw it up, every play is going to end with Kobe Bryant taking the shot.
And this is why Kobe don't get no calls. Because Kobe sits here and yells and chastises the refs every single game. Like every other play, you see Kobe just bitching at the refs. What happened? What happened? That was a foul. Like, it was an instance last night in the game where he was complaining to the refs, and Washington just scored again. Like, what? The game goes on, Kobe. You want to talk to the refs, talk to him during timeout or during a foul shot or something. Talk to him mid-play.
Get a tip.
I'm done.
All right, so let's get on to your team.
The Chicago Bulls.
You've heard of they've been looking kind of bad.
Yeah, I agree. We're tired.
You've been enduring
that. I mean, we're tired. We started the season without our best player, so you knew that Dang and Noah and Boozer and all them would be getting major minutes. I mean, you knew that was going to happen. And then for now we have injuries just kind of piling up. That has not helped the situation. Noah's been playing hurt. Boozer's a little banged up. Dang's been playing hurt since the season started. Richard Hamilton can't stay healthy. He might be out for the year. Kirk Heimer's been in and out all season. Taj Gibson just now coming back from injury. I mean, we've just been banged up. And because we've been so banged up, we've had to play Dang 40-plus minutes, Noah 40-plus minutes. Guys are worn. Guys are worn out. So, I mean, at this point, you just got to keep riding. I mean, you got to keep grinding. Keep doing what you got to do. And, jeez, hope Derrick Rose comes back sometime, maybe the end of this month.
Yeah, right now you guys are in sixth place.
Yeah.
Game behind Atlanta. Looks like I thought y'all were going to compete for home court in the first round, but now it's
not looking like it. And, I mean,
what do you think of this whole Derrick Rose injury situation? And I know earlier in the year we were talking about, oh, well, if he's not healthy, just come back when he's healthy and that's all that matters. Now that it's getting close to playoff time, he's technically been cleared to play by the team. His brother comes out and basically like, why should he come back and play? Y'all got scrubs around him. Y'all ain't trying to build. And well, and him saying that, you know, only God knows when I'm going to come back. Let me ask a Bulls fan, how you feeling about all of that?
First off, for his brother, I appreciate Derrick Rose coming out saying my brother doesn't speak for me. Those weren't my words. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I mean, with Derrick Rose, I somewhat admire the fact that he is doing what he's doing. Because you see so many of these guys who come back from these injuries just like, I got to rush back to get my team ready. And then when they start playing, they're very timid or, you know, they don't play up as fast as they used to or, you know, they're kind of scared to make a move. He wants to be at that mind frame where I'm not scared to make that move, where I can just go full speed like I was before. And I admire him for that. He's a smart guy. He's a very humble dude. He's been this way his whole career since he's come out. And he wants to do, in all honesty, what's best for him and what's best for the team as well, I'm sure. I'm sure he has the team in mind. He's there every game with them. He sees they're struggling. You know, I'm sure he wants to be out there with them. Of course. Who doesn't? But at the same time, he has to be smart. You know, he's coming off. I mean, torn ACL is basically, is like, it used to be like the end all of injuries. I mean, with the technical advances we have now, of course, it's not that big of a deal anymore. But it's still a big deal. When you tear an ACL, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, you won't come back, you know, the same. And the mental portion, and the mental portion is like the hardest thing to overcome, because there's always that thought in the back of your mind, well, if I make this cut, I might tear it again. So I can understand him wanting to be there. As a Bulls fan, yes, I'm like, we're getting close to playoffs. You need to be here. Get here. We need you. But as a realist and as an NBA fan in general, it's just like, I don't want him to rush back, because I see the big picture. You know, he's 23 years old. He's not 33. You know, he's not 34, where it's like, you know, you're towards the tail end of your career. We need you, because we got to win. We got a small window. He's like 23 years old. He has a long career ahead of him, and his teammates understand, and they're not rushing him back.
No.
And if I'm like, you know what, the team's backing him up, his teammates are backing him up, they say he's practicing, he's looking good, he's doing well, I go by what they see. Because I can't see him. It's not like I'm at the practices seeing what he's doing. I don't know. They see him, so I have to go by what they see and what they say. So as far as I know, he's looking good. But take your time. Whenever you're ready, hopefully he'll be back by the end of the month, I'm hoping. At least get him a week or two to get into game shape a little bit and get acclimated with the game again. But if not, if so be it, if we don't have Derrick Rose this season, then we don't have Derrick Rose this season. He'll be 100% healthy coming into next season.
Full-on rested,
won't have to worry about an injury. He'll be 100% there for training camp and everything. So, you know, it'll work out either way. If he comes back good, we have a better chance of the playoffs. He doesn't, he's 100% going into next season. So for me, either way, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, he's from the city. He more than anybody knows what it's like to want to go out there and really want to rep and go out for his teammates. But yeah,
and I'm sure he's talked to everybody. I'm sure he's talked to a bunch of guys, Adrian Peterson, and a bunch of guys who've torn their ACLs. And
we are this torn ACL. Now we are post Adrian Peterson MVP.
Now everybody got to come back in 2 months. Yeah. It's been a month. Come on.
Yeah. It says 6 to 9 months. You can do it in 6. Why can't I take the full time?
We on that Kobe Bryant. We ain't got time for you to heal.
Yeah. And he's paid, dude. I'm like, it's an investment on both ends. Mm-hmm. He could be like, I got the money. And
and John,
know, I don't have to rush. And they're like,
Jerry Reinsdorf has come out and said, I am not rushing him back. He went through this with Jordan. He was like, I don't want him coming back till he's 100. And I get it.
You know, to me, he's playing. I think Noah's staying for sure.
Yep.
And
Gibson will be there.
Yeah. Outside of that,
Jimmy Butler's staying.
Yeah. I don't know when they had the next year and the aiming for 2014 like everybody else and they get more cap room. I expect those people to be on the team. And the rest will be.
I could see Dane coming back at a lower salary. Mm-hmm. If he were to take a lower salary, I'm like, look, dude, you got your money. Take a lower salary. I could see him coming back. If he was to be like, look, I'll take, you know, $7-8 million a year, as opposed to, you know, 13-14. It's like, all right, cool. I can deal with that. But if you like, nah, man, I want 11-12. Nah, I'm sorry, we gotta go. We gotta move on. Jimmy Butler, replace. It's that simple.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the hot team right now, the Miami Heat, reigning on top. 25 straight wins.
Crazy.
They are just
That's crazy.
I don't think they're going to get to 33. I don't think they're going to break the record. I don't think so.
I don't think so. And I think at some point it'll come to an end. But
it is impressive.
It's very impressive. Now, I saw this debate on First Take. It was like, what's more impressive, Miami, if they win the 34, I guess, game win streak, or the Bulls winning 72 games in the season? I may be biased. I'm sorry. 72 games in a season is incredible. I'm sorry. You damn near went undefeated. Like, you could say, yeah, 34 game. Yeah, I get the 34-game streak, and I get that the Bulls, you know, didn't have a huge winning streak. I mean, they had, like, 18 games or something during that season, but they only lost 10 times. That's both my hands. That's it.
And they broke. Well, the other thing is, one, they broke that same Laker team's record. Who won? What was it? They lost, like, what, 11 games?
Something like that. Like, because the 34-game streak with a team like Miami, I could see this record being broken. I'm never going to see. I swear I can never see anybody breaking 72 games.
Well, you know,
nobody's winning 73. I'm sorry. Nobody is going to win 73 games.
Well, you know they're going to break nobody. It up next year. But both of them teams did the Miami. We have to see if they're going to do is they both won the championship.
And the one thing about that Bulls team that did win 72 games, they never took their foot off the gas. They came with it every single game.
Look, I am going to address it. I am a little bit concerned. I'm not freaked out because you can say, hey, when it matters in the last 2 minutes, they're making the plays to win the game. And that's good. But I'm like, these coming back from all these points, I'm like, that's – you don't want to just – you start feeding into that like, oh, it don't matter because in the fourth quarter. I was like, well, what if the other team stays hot?
You're not a fan of these streaks.
Nope. I'm like,
if you're a Miami Heat player, would a part of you want to lose?
No, for them, they want right now is just for them. Now, probably once they beat the streak, then they can be like, all right, we got 34. Now I don't care afterwards.
But it's almost like, do you want to lose? Not necessarily want to lose, but it's almost like, I don't want to tank. Like, you know what I'm saying?
If fools are talking about they're just going to go into the season.
You're just going to go into the playoffs on a 40-game winning streak.
I'm like, that's fine because you're going to lose and lose bad. Because I'm like, yeah, I don't like that. Because all of a sudden you lose. Like, what happens? You finally hit you. Oh, we've been rolling so hard. Now we hit a 2-3-game losing streak. Oh, we're out of the playoffs, possibly. But, hey.
We'll see.
Yeah,
it's impressive. I am not gonna knock Miami for what they're doing. What they're doing is very impressive. Keep it up.
They come in San Antonio, and we gonna
LeBron
have to
James
there.
Is the best freaking basketball player in the freaking world, bar none. Sorry, KD, you are like way down there at number 2.
Damn,
LeBron James is on a planet by himself. Nobody else comes close right now, dude. When it comes, I'm talking all around now. LeBron has he's killing it. Physique, skill, everything. He's making his free throws. He's hitting three-pointers. He can post up. He boards. He's getting double-digit assists. It's almost like just kick back and relax, and then when the second half comes and we're down, give me the ball, and it's over. Well, I can do anything I want.
Well, Kevin Durant's not there because he's not in his prime yet. Like, right now, LeBron James is
in his prime. And it's stupid. And it's almost like, finally, LeBron, you are finally playing up to the potential they have crowned you with when you came out of high school. Yeah. Finally, we're here.
Now he can be king.
Now.
And it's all gravy.
Now we can start making some arguments. You win a 2-3 championships. Now we can start making some arguments.
You think he can?
For, you know, cracking, possibly opening the door for that top 10 of all time. If you get 2 or 3.
Yeah, it's in the next few years since we're already talking about that he gonna go to Cleveland
him there yet.
Or Los Angeles.
Oh my god!
Once
if I'm LeBron James, why am I going to Cleveland? Because I was from there and I dissed him when I left. Why would I go back? Why would I go back?
Yeah, LeBron feeling so good right now. He just yamming over Jason Terry, giving him the look like I'm tired of you. Shut up.
He did give him that look, and they gave him a little technical for taunting or whatever. But
ooh, that was nasty.
Ooh, that was a nasty dunk. But
is it better?
No, there ain't no way. For those of y'all who didn't see the DeAndre Jordan dunk, that dunk was disgusting.
If you ain't seen it, go Google.
Go
it now.
YouTube it right now, because oof, I can't even describe that dunk. Like Brandon Knight, you have had probably the worst season of any player. You got your ankle broken 2 times by Kyrie Irving in the All-Star game, and then you got yammed on. Like fell to the ground, hands over your face in shame.
And fools like,
oof,
putting your picture on different stuff like they did with Pacquiao getting knocked out. I mean, damn. I mean, just caught it in midair. Now, I'll give Brandon Knight props because I watched it a few times the night it happened and tried to rewind it. He saw the play, tried to block the lob attempt, and it didn't work, and he got yammed on something terrible.
Psst, ridiculous.
And it made the face. That's now on everybody going a DeAndre Jordan ugly face t-shirt.
I had to make the ugly face when I saw it. Like, oh, good Lord. Oh, I had to rewind it three times, even though they showed it three times in the replay. I was like, oh, good Lord. Oof. Oh. But, oh, my
Clippers,
goodness.
Man, a good show. Yep. Although people hating on how they can't do it against the great teams like Oklahoma City and Memphis and Spurs.
It's ridiculous.
Don't hate. I want to go to Ticket to go see Lob City.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely pay for a ticket for to go see that.
I want to see something good.
Yep.
I don't want to see some people not playing defense.
Exactly.
Selfishness.
Exactly.
So with Andrew Bynum, not the Lakers' problem anymore.
He's
about to have surgery on both knees, done for the season.
That's probably, you know what? I will give the Lakers that much credit for this season. They got Andrew Bynum and his contract for Dwight Howard. So basically, they got Dwight for nothing. But swapping Andrew Bynum's contract. Because Andrew Bynum, first it was the bowling situation. We got questions about the fool's hair and all that. Now he ain't playing the whole season. Like, I almost forgot Andrew Bynum's in the NBA this whole season. Like, he's disappeared. He's been gone. Philly, I know, is just kind of like, I know behind the scenes management is pissed. Like, we traded Iguodala, all of our young dudes.
And Jason Richardson.
And we got two dudes who hurt now. Jason Richardson out. He played a little bit, but he's out. Andrew Bynum never played. It was just like, and Vucevic? Balling.
Yeah, very underrated. He got the time.
I said it when they made the deal. I didn't think it was that bad for Orlando, and I didn't, because the man was picked in the first round for a reason, and now we see he can ball. I bet Philly would take that trade back in a heartbeat.
I don't know, man. It had to be a risk, because
a heartbeat.
You know, they were at the bottom of the East anyway. I mean, playoff-wise, they were, you know, that 6-8 seed, you know, maybe can squeeze out and get to the second round of the playoffs, but that was it. So I'm not mad at Philly at all. I mean, it was a gamble. And
a huge one.
Yeah, you know, a healthy Andrew Bynum is a top three big in this league, and, you know, with the emergence of Drew Holiday, like, okay, that's a nice point guard center tandem.
And you know what's so bad about it? It's like he comes in, you do the whole press conference, he's holding up the jersey and smiling. He may never wear that jersey because he's a free agent at the end of the year, so he might just leave. Terrible.
What you think the market's for Andrew Bynum?
If I'm a GM, like I don't want to pay him nothing, but I know I'm going to have to if you need a center. So I'd say 2-year 20 and 10 mil a year. And a third year for a team option, no player option. I am not giving him the option of opting in. I got the option of keeping you or not. You get 2 years. That's it. That is the max I will go for him. I'm not giving him 3 or 4. Nope.
No. He's gonna have
you get 1 or 2 guaranteed years. That's it.
He's gonna have to prove himself bad.
Oh, he's gonna have to. In my case, for at least a couple years.
Yeah, you don't want to have to pay $10 million for him. But you're going to have to. I mean, he's still...
He got bad knees. Yeah,
but he's that kind of... It's not Greg Oden, where Greg Oden was just like a
defensive... To me, he's damn near on Greg Oden status now. Like,
injury-wise, yeah. But he's still, you know, the potential.
Greg Oden got potential, and Greg Oden going to get like a 3-year, $3 million. He ain't getting much money. So, Andrew Bynum, you better be lucky and happy for anything you get on the market. Seriously.
Yeah. If I'm Philly, I'd do that. I'd be willing to do that, to take that risk, just because you're like, we did make the trade. And
get 2 years.
Yeah.
That's it. You want 3, bye. Bye. Go ahead and see what you get out there. Somebody stupid enough to go ahead and give you 3-4 guaranteed years, go ahead and take it, because you know what? That team going to end up feeling dumb in the end. So, whatever.
We're going to take a quick break and come back. Y'all listening to the Brothers Lima Sports Happy Hour.
This off a hydro. Put it on a rapper like they working out Tavo. Here to make a statement. Not on your game, you won't catch it like a pavement.
Cause all that blase ain't fly, it ain't hitting. And so from this point on, we straight spitting.
Yeah, what? My shit is tight, if not the damn tightest. My stats stay bubbling how Pepsi and Sprite is. Make a bitch jealous to the point she wanna slice with. Fuck a nigga head up like the ex-girl turned dyke, bitch. The nicest. But pussy running deep in his stab wounds from ice man.
Where you about to take it?
Baby, I done took it. Some old digger, digger shit. Man, look in here. I'm spitting rhymes unruly. MC for real might catch a hot chewy.
Cause all that blase blase ain't hitting.
And so from this point on, we straight spitting. Yeah, what? I push the range on my pops Buick Regal. Hang with cats who known for making drug money legal. Dislike you. Spit on purpose just to spite you. Hurt you like the news, your boy died on motor. I spit clean versions for underage rugrats. I spit for Brick City, where all my real thugs at? I spit shit cause I'm in a bad mood for when my life wasn't shit but bad weed and fast food. I spit and make executive decisions. I spit some shit for all the scrubs and the pigeons. And best believe where I'm going, you a goner. I spit more rhymes in silicone in California. I spit for all them jokers at the pool hall. Carrying my daughter on my back just to fool y'all. I meditate, say a prayer with my sensei. I spit on MTV all the way down to your mixtape. Like that. I'm the illest with the mouthpiece. Crazy like South Park and hotter than South Beach.
Cause all that blase blase ain't hitting.
And so from this point on, we straight spitting. Yeah. I spit shit and leave your scar like a facelift. I spit for the underground. Hot 97 be the matrix. 1-2, hit him with the basics. Who will stay hitting? Who'll be straight spitting? I take the mic and rock it like what? I'll make you right, get right tonight. Cause you never heard a honey spit rhymes like. Said you never heard a honey spit rhymes like. In a million years, in a million beers. Said you never heard a honey spit rhymes like.
Cause all that blase ain't fly, ain't hitting.
And so from this point on, we straight spitting. Yeah, what? When you hear a bitch rhyme, raise your lighters. Spitting on behalf.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour. If y'all want to contact the show, I want to holler at us at the Happy Hour. You can do it many ways. You can email the show, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Or you can leave a voicemail at 323-455-4219.
Hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns, critiques, anything you guys want to know, anything you know you may want to give us, any feedback. Want to know about your fantasy draft picks, fantasy teams, fantasy leagues, any sport, it don't matter. Hit us up. Let us know.
Yep, any questions you want to answer on the show, we will shout you out and answer your question.
Definitely.
And on to the NFL, which has been an interesting
off season
for real.
Mm-hmm.
People just coming and going. I know you had a kind of up and down so far. I mean, you get Wes Welker.
You know what? For the Broncos have had a fantastic offseason. You know, with the whole facts fiasco thing, that wasn't our fault. It wasn't the players' fault. It was the agent's fault. So I'm not, you know, not mad at Elvis Dumervil for what happened. And I'm not mad at him for taking his time, man. That's his right. He's a free agent now. He got his right. We cut him. But at the same time, we can't, I mean, it's not like, you know, we can go ahead and just pay you what we were initially going to pay you. You cost us money. So we, you know. The contract is going to be a little bit smaller than what you wanted, but, you know, we got to do what we got to do. Wes Welker was a fantastic pickup. We also got Dominic Rogers Cromartie, another fantastic pickup. So I'm happy with where the Broncos are, and if Elvis Dumervil happens to go somewhere else, we got Drake Freeney on speed dial, so it doesn't even matter. If he's gone, we got somebody to replace him already. Why? Because of Peyton. Peyton hit up Dwight and was like, hey, man, we need you. We want you here. So it's like, all right, he came, he met with the brass, and now we wait until Dumervil makes his decision. If he chooses to go to Baltimore, fine, go to Baltimore. We got Dwight Freeney.
You don't, that kind of sting, though. It kind of sucks that you losing him with Dumervil.
It does, and it really does. And I know Von Miller, of all people, is gonna feel it the most because that was his boy. You know, and that was his mentor when he came in as a rookie. So Von did mention he's going to. He'll be in Miami, and he'll hang with him and talk to him and all that. So we'll see. But, I mean, like I said, I mean, he cost us money. So, I mean, the contract can't be the same as it was. I mean, we can't afford it. You know, we gave him an offer that was great, and he wanted it at the very, very end of the, you know, that's why you were not supposed to push it to the limit Vax fiasco. And unfortunately, it came 2 o'clock. We had to cut him. So if he wants to come back, great. If not, peace out.
Yeah, which, you know, he's in signed with the Ravens. So, and before I get into the Ravens, I want we go back to this Wes Welker.
Love it. Drama. Oh, that was great.
New England with
it was great.
The owner and his agent. I mean, wow. I mean, this was the whole, you know, Tom Brady takes a pay cut, whatever, you know, has room so they can sign Wes Welker. It's a done deal. He made room. And then, like, yeah, okay, 2 years, 10 million. Okay, well, he's going to the Broncos. What?
For 2 years and 12. Love it. Love it.
New England is clearly pissed off. Well, New England fans are like, what the hell?
I truly believe that Wes Welker wanted to, I think he wanted to stick it to New England. For just he's been very good, you know, a good citizen, a good player for them for years, for four or five years with 100, averaging 100 something odd catches. He's been Tom Brady's safety blanket. But the way New England, you know, treated him, so to speak, you know, they did some foul things, benching him in the initial game and all that crap. You know, players don't want, you know, players want to feel wanted. And when you do things like that, they don't feel like you want them.
With all that he went through last offseason, and wanting to get the big money, and they weren't feeling them, and then Belichick, you know, doing what he did, I think he was like, I'm not pressed to stay. Like, you know, I want to stay, but if I can go somewhere else and play with a top quarterback, and they're like, oh, Peyton Manning.
Do you think it's coincidental that he went from Tom Brady to Peyton Manning?
No, that feels like you should be
It
smart.
Almost seems like his agent popped the – because I did read a column that said basically Welker was kind of coming at Denver like, yo, come on, let's go, let's do this. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay,
he's a free agent.
Done.
He wanted to test the market, see what's out there. And
perfect fit.
Yeah, Robert Kraft talking about
– bam.
He technically took less money. I mean, his agent should have said something.
Best wide receiving corps in the league, period. Ain't no argument. I'm sorry. There's no argument.
That move trumps Atlanta.
There's no argument. Oh, yeah, because we got three of them now. Holla. Best receiving corps in the league, baby. Love it. Oh, I love it. But, I mean, at the same time, for New England's sake, did you see how quick they signed Danny Amendola? Mm-hmm. Hello? Of course, they had an offer on the table for him. Just like, bam, let's see what happens with Wells. All right, he leaving fine. Bam, here you go. So,
yeah,
I'm sure Wes Welker knew that. I'm sure he knew.
They were exploring, too. He knows New England. They explore our options. He know they're looking at Danny Amendola.
It was like, oh, 2 years, 10 for him. Oh, we giving Danny 5 years, 30. So I'm like, what? Okay. I don't blame him for leaving. No. I don't blame him for leaving.
Going to get the younger guy. You know, that was a nice backup move by New England.
Mm-hmm. He is a little injury prone, though. We'll point that out. Yeah. Wes Welker is very durable. So,
man, but... You know, Super Bowl Ravens, you know, doing what feels there now. But, I mean, Anquan Boldin, gone.
Traded. To the 49ers, nonetheless, for a sixth-round pick. Steal of the offseason. You got him across from Michael Crabtree now. Oh, my goodness. And Vernon Davis. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you got a guy.
And Frank Gore. Oh, my goodness.
He's a veteran who makes clutch plays. He clearly has made them. Now he's got a Super Bowl ring. And
the 49ers would... On the cusp.
You know, and Joe Flacco was talking about it, and he was standing
up. He was
up
standing back behind him, yep.
Like, if he feels like he wants his money, then let him get it.
But, for the Ravens, I think in that state, they did the right thing. I think Jim Harbaugh did the right thing. As John Harbaugh, coach called his brother up, basically was like, with the salary cap way things are going, Anquan don't fit in our books. Do you want him?
Yeah.
His brother was like, hell yeah, let me call the GM right now.
See if we can work something.
Set it up. Set up. Bam, done. So they looked out for Anquan, which I do appreciate. I'm sure he appreciated that. You know, not trading him to just some Joe Schmo, sorry, Cleveland Brown team or something like that. He got to go to a contending team, a team that could potentially win another Super Bowl. So it was a good look for him. For the Ravens, this is the kind of thing that happens when you win a Super Bowl. You spend big money. You know, on these players trying to win the Super Bowl, they had to pay Joe Flacco boatload of money because he was in his contract year, coincidentally. And You know, this is what happens. You got to cut guys. You got to release guys. They lost Ed Reed. They've lost Kruger. They've lost, who else? Kerry Williams. I mean, guys.
They lost a sack leader.
Yep. Kruger went to, Paul Kruger went to Cleveland. They division rival. Oof. Stings.
And Cleveland,
Ed Reed goes to Houston. Nice pickup for Houston. Yeah. Nice pickup for Houston.
Nice veteran on that end.
Kerry Williams went to Philly. Nice secondary pickup for now.
I'm not mad at Flacco for taking the money. I don't care.
Not mad at Flacco.
But it's not his fault.
Plus, I mean, based off what Ozzie Newsome has done, history says they'll be fine.
Yeah, it's football is funked up in that way. Mm-hmm. That is so, it changes. Like, it changes quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a team you could be on the cusp. Hey, look at Arizona. Last, the Cardinals. Oh, they
2 years.
Serious.
Yeah.
Get Super Bowl, Kurt Warner's gone. They suck. You know, now you got Arizona saying, well, we're not gonna trade Larry Fitzgerald. Like, hell no. You're not
trading Larry Fitzgerald. I'm sure Larry Fitzgerald doesn't want to be traded, but at the same time, he wants to win, just like anybody else. So I'm sure if it got to that point, they would think about it. So I don't know. But, that's what happens. You know, you look at all the good teams who get to the Super Bowl. Happened to Pittsburgh. I mean, Green Bay took some hits. All these teams who win Super Bowl championships. You look at when the Broncos finally won the second Super Bowl back in 98, 99?
Mm-hmm.
Elway left. Davis wasn't the same. Everything just crumbled and fell apart. Things happen.
Changes.
It changes all the time. Every year, guys are bouncing from one team to another, so things change. Speaking of, Mike Wallace got pissed.
Oh,
woo, that brother got paid. Hey, I ain't mad at him. Take the money, brother. He gets to go to Miami. Enjoy. Enjoy.
Hopefully it works in Miami. They tried it once before.
They need a number one receiver.
Brandon Marshall.
That's always been the question with Mike Wallace, though, is that he's getting that number one receiver money. Can he be your go-to guy, though? He's always been the deep threat.
Yeah.
But he's always had inconsistent hands. He's not known as the best route runner. So it's like, is he worth it? Is he worth that much money?
He supposedly can command it because he's still young.
He's young. But he has that to his advantage.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, we just got to get a quarterback. Like,
they got a quarterback. Don't forget about Ryan Tannehill now.
Okay.
So, I mean, Tannehill now has a weapon he can throw. He now has, I guess, you want to call him your go-to guy, at least a known receiver, a big-name receiver he can throw the ball to. But they're still a young team, and they still got moves to make. They still got holes to fix.
Let Reggie Bush go. Oof, or they didn't sign him. Now he's going with the Lions.
Yeah, nice move by Lions. Hopefully, if Michael LaShore can do something, they can have a little lightning and thunder combination going along there. I did hear the coach say he wants to use Reggie Bush how he was kind of using with the Saints. So,
I know he's going Darren Sproles him.
Fantasy sleeper, there you go.
Oh no, Reggie Bush stock went up. I don't know how
big time.
I mean, his weapon. So you know, on some end he might take some hit, but you figure he'll get more catches.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta. They've been having some good news so far. Tony Gonzalez coming back for another year.
Nice move.
And then the obvious pickup that everybody saw coming, Steven Jackson.
That, another underrated move of the offseason. Not a lot of people were really talking about it much, but to replace Michael No-Burner with Steven Jackson, my God, it's like night and day. You kidding me?
Well, you use Michael Turner up.
They might just be now the favorites in the NFC to win it. I might come close to putting them over the 49ers because their offense now is almost unstoppable. Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, Matt Ryan, Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
Nasty. Nasty.
You feel like you got Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore, Crabtree, Bolden, Vernon Davis.
But I will say this.
And we got the best defense.
For Kaepernick, though, we have to see the whole 16-game season.
Yeah.
He came in late in the season last year. We were about a little more than halfway throughout the season. I want to see, can he last for a whole 16-game schedule? You know, he did a great job. I'm not taking anything away from him whatsoever. He did a fantastic job. But I need to see him for 16 games. I need to see if he can stay healthy. I need to see if he can continue with this whole run option thing they got going on, if we even know if it's going to last. You know, that's a question I have for you, sir. How long do you really think this run option nonsense, this read option, I can't really call it nonsense. My Broncos did run it. But is this read option thing really going to last?
No, it's not a long-term solution. Mm-hmm. You know, all season. We know on this all season, coaches are just trying to figure this out. Mm-hmm. That now it's becoming the it thing. It's the new, you know, the new offense to run, and now, you know, and this whole quarterbacks who can move. Let's have some options. I'm like,
I see it as more so. I see it as something that probably will last, some similar to the Wildcat, which lasted about a year and a half, and then guys had to stop running because it was pointless. Guys figured it out and it was done. And let me say, first of all, shame on all those critics out there, those writers out there who were bad mouthing my Broncos. I think it was just Tebow hate. Bad mouthing my Broncos for running the read option. It's college gimme, but now everybody gonna do it. Oh, okay, but everybody else can do it and they're cool. They're cool doing it. We do it with Tebow and it's like, oh, nonsense. Okay, all right, I see how it is. When the Broncos are ready for all that crap and tear up the teams this year, we might go undefeated. Yeah, I said it. We got Welker now. There's no stopping Peyton anymore. Imagine Brandon Stokely to the third power now. Bow-yow. Brandon Stokely was like 38. What? Wes Welker's 31. Still got treadmills on him, baby. Let's go. Another 100 catches. And then you got Demaryius and Eric. Woo! Baby, we might average 40 points a game. Let's go. And don't let us get a good running back in the draft either, because then it's really over.
Yeah, I just got to make the plays again.
Holla! It's over.
And, of course, you have to see if people deem the best regular season quarterback in history can be a great postseason quarterback.
Oh, it's all good. He'll be working with Wes tomorrow. Getting it on. Let's go.
Let's go to other good teams that are
I got to mention the Texans, though. Houston has made two fantastic moves this offseason that have not really been talked about. One, of course, we all know is the Ed Reed. The other underrated move they made, they got Shane Leckler from Oakland. Ladies and gentlemen, he is probably the greatest punter I have ever seen in my life. That is another weapon for them. Are you kidding me? Now they can just pin cats wherever they want. Yeah. Defense is going to be savage next year. They got another year underway. Phillips, look out for Houston. No. Look out for Houston. Ed Reed, add him to. Oh my God! Look out for Houston.
Yeah, that was a nice pickup.
Look out for Houston.
Bears sign Martellus Bennett. You know, nice solid pickup replacing Greg Olsen, who they should have never got rid of. But the face of the franchise is not coming back. Brian Urlacher is
replaced by DJ Williams, former Bronco. Go ahead and take him, Chicago. Have him. You know what? I like Brian Urlacher, but I mean, he's slower. You know, he is older. He's slower. And we've seen now, you know, teams nowadays aren't somewhat like they used to be. You know, they'll cut you in a heartbeat. If you're not producing, you're not doing well, you're costing me money, you won't play for my price, then bye. And I mean, it's sad to say, but that's just how it is. I think they offered him like 1 year, $2 million or something. And he called it a slap in the face. And I can understand that. You know, being the face of a franchise for so many years, you feel like I've earned more than that.
Right.
But
people not trying to pay,
you know,
you for
especially I've made you money. Jersey sales, you know, video games, all everything, you know. Yeah. I bring fans to the stands. And you would think that, but it's
these
a cutthroat.
Owners are always paying like what cutthroat you business me lately. I'm exactly. Like, I can't pay you for what you did like 5-6 years ago. I'm like, now you banged up and you're getting old and a little slow.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, you ever want to make a trip down to Colorado, buddy? The Denver Broncos will gladly have you. Always and forever. Don't believe. Come on down. Championship roller coaster. We're just keeping them rolling.
Even the Bears that did add James Anderson.
Yeah, James Anderson.
Nice trying to fill in for that.
Trying to fill in little gaps. I'm curious about the Martellus Bennett pickup because they had Greg Olsen. They didn't use him. Everybody was complaining, blah blah blah, about them not having tight ends. They never really used their tight ends, so to speak. So it doesn't really even matter. So I want to see if Jay Cutler will get the big picture and start throwing, you know, the short intermediate passes to his tight end. We all know he likes to throw deep to Brandon Marshall all the time. So we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see if he uses it. If he does, good job. Another small move they made, the coach came out and said, basically, Devin Hester ain't a wide receiver no more, son. You're a kick returner. Bold move, but you know what? Probably the best move to make for the team. Devin Hester ain't the best wide receiver out there. And they were basically just spoon-feeding him and just throwing him out there to be the other starting. It was pointless. It was pointless. So he's doing what he's best at now. So focus on kick returns and punt returns, and we'll leave it at that. So he's a return specialist.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
They go five wide or something like that.
I don't forget about Dante Hall. Let's not forget about Dante Hall. He used to kill. He was a terrible wide receiver, but he was an awesome kick returner. Yeah. So, I mean, you can make a living out of being a kick returner.
Yeah, I mean, they can use him if necessary.
Jacoby Jones. Plays. Look at Jacoby Jones.
Mm-hmm. But he's not a number one and number two at all.
Nope.
Greg Jennings going to a rival and didn't really get all that much hate for it.
You know what? It was one of those things where Greg Jennings saw the writing on the wall. We all knew where he was going. He wasn't getting much attention anyway. There were only a few certain teams who really needed that much help at wide receiver. You know, Vikings needed a receiver. They traded Percy Harvin to Seattle, which was, oh God, Seattle was trying to look vicious. So they basically swapped him, picked up Greg Jennings, which, I mean, is a nice pickup. It's a nice pickup. Mm-hmm. We'll see if Christian Ponder can get him the ball. But that, you know, that's a different story. But at least now you have a legit wide receiver to take some attention off of Adrian Peterson. They need another one, though. That's the other thing. That's the only thing. It's like you traded Percy Harvin. We already sucked at wide receiver. Now we got Greg Jennings. We still need another wide receiver. So
Percy Harvin didn't suck at wide receiver. He just couldn't stay healthy.
No, they sucked at wide receiver. Well, minus Percy Harvin.
Oh, yeah.
Besides Percy Harvin, everybody else was weak. Mm-hmm. Jerome Simpson.
They got rid of Sidney. That's putting Sidney Rice
and Percy Harvin back together. So, I mean, yeah, you know, whatever. But my money says they pick a wide receiver first round in the draft because they need one.
Yep.
So, if they can get two receivers to go with, you know, Adrian Peterson and Christian Ponder, let's not forget about Kyle Rudolph. You know, you can have a little bit of a potent offense, not have to run Adrian Peterson so freaking much, and open things up. So, we'll see. Now, let's move on to Seattle, though. Ooh, Lord. Damn. They got Cliff Avril. What? And Percy Harvin? What? God, man, are you serious? They're going to be serious.
We were crapping on the NFC West for so long. Like, now, they might have the damn two best teams in the NFC.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real talk. Real talk. They just might. And
quarterback, strong running game, top five defenses.
Both teams have young quarterbacks. You know, they got good pounding running backs, very solid defenses. Oh, Lord, man. I can't wait for the season to start. I can't wait. Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait. So, we'll see. NFC West, look out.
James Harrison, no longer a Steeler.
You know what? It was like 5-6 year love fest. You know, James Harrison was an undrafted free agent. He bounced around for a while until he found a home with Pittsburgh. But for the years that he was rolling, he did what he did. You know, he was a great pass rusher. He brought a little bit of an edge to that defense. As far as I'm concerned, he was the psycho of that team. He was nuts.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah,
you look at guys like Bill Romanowski, some of these crazy fools that just do crazy things on the defensive side. That's what you need sometimes. You need one of those intimidating guys who's just like, I don't give a fuck, and I will do what I want. Period. I slam your body, slam you, take your head off. I don't care. Hey.
You know, you just
Lawrence Taylor was like that. Sometimes that's what you need.
You need somebody who's just going to hit. You're like, James Harrison coming, he hitting you.
He's hitting you. And I mean,
it's sad to see, but this is
like football. Said, part of the game. This is part of business. I mean,
Steelers did that with Joey Porter years ago, and it was like, why are you releasing him? Like, they don't hold on to guys too long.
No.
You know, if they feel like the person is getting
beyond their prime, you don't want to restructure. Yeah, if you can't work nothing out, see ya.
Yeah. Ain't no disrespect.
I will give Pittsburgh this much, though. They try to work things out before they just flat out get rid of you. It ain't like they just kick it to the curb. You know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to try to do something for you. So we'll see what happens. See what happens.
Two big mouths that got released, D'Angelo Hall on Redskins, and supposedly the best corner a few years ago. Nnamdi Asamoah is now released.
Cornerback market is pretty much dried up at this point. So as far as big money, I ain't getting any. Nnamdi, I hear he's probably going to go to New Orleans. Might be a good fit for him. I don't know. But what happened to him, man? He fell off a cliff when he got paid. He got paid and he became sorry. Like, I don't get it. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's because he played for the Raiders. They were terrible. And he was just kind of like the best player on a bad team. And then once he got on a team with some other good players on it, he just, he crumbled. So I don't know. I don't know. I like Nnamdi Asamoah. He's a good guy. And, hopefully he can turn his career around because he was one of the best corners for a while. Like, so I don't know.
He was like a shutdown. Like, you just don't throw to his side.
Yeah. Like I said, maybe that was because he was the best player on the sorry Raiders team. I don't know. But, I wish him the best where he is. As far as Dante Hall goes, he going to have to come back somewhere for like pretty much nothing. If he does return to the Redskins, fine. If not, I don't see him coming back until probably around training camp. Because the majority of the cornerbacks have already signed. Dominic Rogers Cromartie is signed. Sean Smith is signed. So a lot of these big name guys that were out there already signed up. And a lot of the teams now, it's a deep draft. If there's deep cornerback draft. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the teams are holding out until the draft comes. And they can get a guy in the first, second, third round. Maybe even the fourth or fifth round and still get a quality player. So there's no rush for them. And, we'll see what happens.
Before we hit a break, we got two topics we need to address before we get out of the NFL. The first one is this rule change with the lowering the helmet now. And now be a 15-yard penalty if a player who is more than 3 yards downfield or outside of the tackle box delivers a blow with the crown of his helmet. Mm. If the offensive and defensive player each lowers his head and uses the crown of the helmet to make contact, each will be penalized. I don't know about this rule just for the fact of how are the refs going to determine what is lowering their head to deliver punishment versus, this guy's coming low to tackle me. I'm just ducking low to protect myself or at least be like brace for impact.
Well, I guess they'll be looking hard as when you're actually going to lower your shoulder to like basically to truck somebody. Right. It used to be dudes would just use their shoulder, and just bust you up. And then after overtime, guys just started using the crowns of their helmets. And more so, I think it was just more of a defensive mechanism because you got defensive guys flying at you with the crown of their helmets. So it's like, I'm going to do the same thing, protect myself. So I get it. Yeah. And now it's basically a penalty on both sides now. 15 yards for defensive players if you hit with the crown. 15 yards for offense if you hit with the crown. It just goes both ways. I know Eric Dickerson didn't like it. Jim Brown didn't mind, and I'm sure Jim Brown didn't mind. He played in the rugged, no helmet wearing NFL. He had to use a shoulder. Right. He ain't using his head, so right. He had to use a shoulder.
Right. And for those who are like deliberately, like I'm going down like a missile, you can use your shoulder when a guy's trying to tackle you up top, but down low, guys just trying to get that extra yards, and it'll get called more and it'll be a lot more dramatic. It's all about safety. It's all about not getting lawsuits for concussions. Football has become more violent, and the NFL is trying to do something to lessen everything that might happen once the player is no longer in the NFL.
Exactly.
All these lawsuits, they're trying to cover their ass. Mm-hmm. The other topic, and this was asked of us a while ago by Brother Malcolm at Callie Yaley on Twitter. He wanted us to address Richard Sherman on First Take. And what do we think of his comments? And for those who hadn't seen it,
please go see it. Please watch it in YouTube. It's something to see. I think he was out of bounds, personally.
I mean, he went.
He went hard on Skip Bayless, and I can understand Skip Bayless can be a little bit of an ass sometimes. You know, people disagree with some of his comments, but at the same time, to go over there and just bash on him like that was just like, wow.
Yeah, we just have you on the show, and
yeah,
maybe
like,
we'll talk about some things. And where do you feel like you rank as? Are you the best cornerback in the game?
Some.
And you just like. I'm not taking your questions. I'm just here to tell you that you ain't shit. That
I'm better than you in everything in my life. Like, what? Like, the
I'm
hell?
Basically better at my skill than you are in yours. And,
entire life.
God, yeah, that's like you. I'm beating everything in life. Like, wow, dude. Like, is it that serious?
And Richard Sherman's a smart guy. Went to Stanford. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not an idiot. So no,
he's a talker.
Yeah, he's a big talker. You
know, which is kind of like, why didn't they, you know, plug like,
are you better than Darrelle Revis?
And like, I ain't.
Right now? I mean, right this very moment? I don't know, man. Like, yes, Darrelle Revis was out. You were probably the best cornerback in the year, of
I'm
the
not
year
here
this
to talk
year.
About that.
But
I was like, what are you here to talk about?
Yeah, man, you got to answer a question or two, something. Don't just come over here and bash guys. Like,
right.
Come Look, on.
I've been watching this thing for a while. I watch it on and on because, you know, off and on. Because, yeah, they can repeat the same topics over and over again. I mean,
right.
They just buried Tim Tebow stories.
Yep, still are.
I mean, any chance they get.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Skip does. It's a show. This
exactly.
Is, you know, he says that stuff.
It's for writing.
Even when guests come on, he's trying to antagonize the guests.
Exactly.
And kind of like, I'm poking you.
He's trying to
you.
Push buttons.
I'm poking you. When you going to say something, you know, that's why it's always great when Terrell Suggs comes on. Because Terrell Suggs just gives it right back.
Exactly.
And just doesn't care. And he's not going to flip off on Skip because he knows what Skip is doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
And unfortunately for Richard Sherman, all he just did was just give ESPN, First Take, and Skip Bayless more love and attention. It's like, oh, damn, he got under this dude's skin. What did he say?
Let me go back and see what happened.
What is he going to talk about? And I mean, you're giving him more pubs. So.
Yeah.
I feel him on going off and letting us know that what he says sometimes is not cool, but he just didn't do that right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question, Brother Malcolm.
Appreciate that.
We're going to come back and wrap up. Y'all listening to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
Say peace to cats who rock Mac knowledge, knowledges, street astrologists, light up the mic guard, knives, the slot joints, the character points, Corolla, Motorola, holer, player guard, he pack over the shoulder, chrome tanks, play it like Yanks, check the franchise, front on my guys, my enterprise, splash many lives, repeller fakes like reflectors, he has sugar in his ear, in his last crack career, we can can him, manhandle him, if you wanna run in his cribbo, get ditto, skate like a limo, and jet to the fly's estate, relate, take a break, break down the ape and then wait, drop it like Drake, they be bowing and screwing. We canoe and claim they doing the same shit we doing. Fuck the union, it's the same style. Where's the trainer board? Jump the turnstile. On the alley, try to challenge guard for the new bounce. Especially that aluminum bat in the act. Relax, laid back, sell a grenade a day. It pays black. The Mac 10 flex, white cats like Windex. Index, finger be sore, busting these fly spread. The Wally Kim count crazily grins. Provide plans, laying with my bitches and my mans. And Lex lands, we losing them. Jet to the stash and now Jerusalem. Abusing them, rocking his jewels like we using them. Low pro. Star, seven thick waves, rock polar. Roll with the older guard, build with the sun and the star.
All the kids start realizing that ghosts got that shit. Better keep you vibing. Look who is here to bring you Charlotte's finest. But if you still swing, you better step up behind us.
Mercury raps is rough, then guard to show like tax. Red and white, Wally, the match, bear my baseball hat. Doing forever shit like pissing out the window on turnpikes. Robbing niggas for levis, like swiping on dirt bike. Voicey mellow like Vaughn Harper, radio barber. Murder sleepaway camp, the fly lady champ. The arsonist who burn with his pen regardless. Slaying all these earthlings and fake foreigners. In the Philippines, pick herbal bees, bubbling strings. Bright chemical cream, we burn kerosene. The conviction of my tape is rape wicked like Nixon. Blonde heads inscriptions with 3 6s and kiss the pyramid, experiment with high explosive. I slap box with Jesus, link shot to Joseph. Zooming like binoculars, the rap.
rap blacksmith. Money's Rolex was broccoli. Set rack top spotless. I'm Iron Man, no decast metal. I'm still alloy. True identity hitting inside. Secret tabloids. Breathe oxygen. Both sides of my jaw carry oxes. The track hit like cabangas in 100-wide boxes. No jostling these cats while little JP Dellian. Sip Irish moss out of weed Dellians.
Rhymes like retail. Make sure shit sell. But where we at, some of my man?
Gold plate, my slang kills my best bills. What up, Lil's? Murder one done. Killer bee stung. Guess who back home, son? My technique is slang can't one. Third platoon soon. Crystal bottles, cages of boom. Poppy wardrobe, the man had a big dick style. Beware goons. Smuggle balloons. Lorna dunes and fat pussy wounds. Let the guards build. Pull the grill. Check out the man's skills. Top secret technique. Too hard for you to peep it and keep it. Tiki style of rap and watch. I'm not gonna slang sweep it. Out of order. Tape recorder. Can't record my slaughter. Spoil the rotten donna. Too good to be forgotten. Hot top notch. Borderline rhymes is hand. Cock 96, my ill sound class is still hot. Get yourself shot.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour. So y'all tore up your brackets yet? Because it has been crazy.
Ridiculous.
In this tournament this year.
Mm-hmm.
Teams just losing or barely surviving.
Losing, I mean, is right, you're right. Losing. They're all losing. This is a pretty equal bunch of players and teams this year in the bracket. I really haven't been a big fan of this year in college basketball, but, you know, it is what it is. So I just follow along, still pulling for the underdogs, Florida Gulf Coast. I'm pulling for them to win it all this year. Let's go. Let's go. But look at the teams that are losing. There's no real power conference anymore. Basketball's boring now. It's boring.
They're fun to watch just in terms of it's the tournament. So
everybody,
you know,
leaves.
Tight.
Everybody leaves. It goes to the league and goes to the D league. It's not fun anymore to watch college basketball. Nobody stays anymore. So you can't watch guys develop. The minute they get here, you finally know who they are. They're gone the next year. It's like, well, okay. Right. And I mean, you got guys who are just, who don't really follow the NBA like that and are dedicated to college basketball. And for them, they're just kind of like, well, this is BS. Because everybody keeps leaving. The minute they come in, they're gone. I'm going to the league. Like, what? Fine.
I mean, yeah, look at Kentucky. Last year, they win it all. Everybody leaves. This year, they don't even make the tournament. And worse, get bounced in the first round of the NIT.
So, hopefully, eventually, these kids will start getting it and will start staying. But back to the tournament. Gonzaga lost today. Big loss for them. I'm sure a lot of people expected that. Nobody really considered them a big threat to go all the way anyway. They were considered a soft number one in the top 25.
She's almost lost to Southern. Oof. Ooh, I'm pulling for that upset.
Oof.
We already got Georgetown. Harvard gets his first win ever in the NC2A tournament.
There you
history.
Go.
Beat New Mexico.
Look at that. Wichita State? Like, what? Come on. Like, where are these? I hope all the small schools go. I know the TVs will be loving that.
UCLA loses to Minnesota.
Eesh, gads. Ben Howland got fired today. Yeah. Peace out, buddy. Peace out.
He had a good one early in his career there. And in the last few years, it's been drama-filled. And
too much.
Not meeting expectations.
Yep. Not whatsoever. So I'm interested to see what happens, who makes it to the Final Four. I'm curious to see. I don't know. I don't have a bracket this year, so I don't know.
We just watching.
Yeah, I'm just kind of just watching.
I mean, like,
it.
Ohio State
barely won.
Yep, pulls it out.
Regan, Indiana barely won. This is just bad basketball. The scores are low. I'm just so not interested in this year. I'm sorry. Not trying to be mean or anything, but it's God.
I mean, Oregon beat Oklahoma State. They made it to the Sweet 16.
Nice job, Oregon. Represent the Pac-12. Let's keep it going. I mean, I'm pulling for Florida Gulf Coast. I'm pulling for North Carolina. I hope they beat Kansas this year. Just knock another number one off. I hope all like 9 to 15 below. I hope that's all that makes it to the Final Four. Let's go.
Right now, who you like making it to the Final Four?
Florida Gulf Coast. You think I'm playing? I'm dead serious. I'm pulling for Florida Gulf Coast to make it.
I know you're pulling for. I'm asking, who do you see in it?
Florida Gulf Coast.
All right.
Who else we got here in the Midwest? I'll give it to I'm going to give it to Creighton. Okay. No, actually, you know what? I'm taking it back. I'm riding with the Pac-12. Let's go Oregon Ducks, baby. And then we got the West. Who we got here? Oh, I'm pulling for LaSalle, homie. Let's go. Harvard's in there, too? Hey, Harvard. Oh, they lost to Arizona today. Okay. What's LaSalle it is.
Oh, come on.
And then in the East, we got, who we got here? I'm pulling for Miami. Without a doubt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There you go. And I'm pulling for Florida Gulf to win it all.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah, and then when they do, what are you going to say then? Dang. Exactly. The competition is not that good this year, so.
I mean, who I like coming out. I think Louisville will make it to the Midwest. I don't know. They'll, you know, beat Duke in what should be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Arizona. Out west.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I hope we get to see a Indiana-Miami.
Ooh.
I go for Miami on that.
Yeah,
and
buddy.
In the south.
I'm telling you that their schedule ain't that bad.
Michigan, let's
see. You think Michigan gonna beat North Carolina?
I'm looking at Kansas. Oh, so you are assuming Kansas is gonna lose today?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes. I'm pulling for all the 9 through 15s, baby. That's where it's at.
We'll see how that turns out. But yeah, man, it's hey. I enjoy it because all it means is
once they done, we can focus on the NBA playoffs where it really matters.
That's what we was at. We want to thank y'all once again for tuning into the Brother Lemon Sports Happy Hour. As always, you can find us on www.blackisonline.com. We are one of many great podcasts on the website. You can also find the Coach Connection with Brother Malcolm.
Brother Malc.
We're going to the UK soon, taking the Coach Connection overseas.
Holla!
Check out his Indiegogo, Coach Connection UK.
All right now.
Trying to take donations, so please help us out where you can.
Don't come back with the accent now, brother.
And, of course, we always got the Black Is Break with KC Lehman.
Going on, sister.
A lot of great articles on there as well y'all can check out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can also find the podcast on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. Everything is under Black Is. And if you want to hit up the happy hour, you can email us, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslehman. Or you can leave a voicemail for the happy hour, 323-455-4219.
Hey, hit us up. And from Chris and Jonathan, this is the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. We'll be giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.